Opening day is this Thursday, and that means it's time to bring back the Rookie of the Year draft. Let's talk about it.
You are Locked On MLB Prospects, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yes, welcome on in to Locked On MLB Prospects, your home for all things minor league baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby, editor-in-chief of BravesToday.com, freelance baseball writer and podcaster. Thank you for making this your first listen. Every single day, we're proudly part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. And that means I sometimes get really cool guests, like today's guest, Jeff Carr, host of Locked On Reds, also channel manager for Locked On MLB. But we're bringing back the second year that we've done the Rookie of the Year draft. We went out there last year and each chose five guys that we thought could win Rookie of the Year as a contest. Turns out neither one of us took Julio Rodriguez. Also, nobody had Michael Harris. Kind of a little awkward, but we're going to do it again. So here's a conversation between me and Jeff Carr. Enjoy. All right, Lindsey Crosby, Jeff Carr making our selections in the 2023 Rookie of the Year draft. I am drafting first because I won last year. Spoiler alert for in a minute. I am starting off with Baltimore Orioles shortstop, third baseman, Gunnar Henderson. It's just something, okay, 2019 second rounder, and he got to the pros rather quickly. He's up as a 21-year-old last year and spent just over a month, right? This is the optimal way to do this because you still get plenty of you get plenty of exposure while retaining Rookie of the Year eligibility. But 259, 348, 440, four home runs, 12 extra base hits, 16 walks to 34 strikeouts, one for two on stolen bases. He gets an idea of how big league pitchers are going to attack him with spin away. He gets a chance to make sure defensively he can keep up at both short and third base, something we saw with Bobby Witt last year. It just seems to me to be a no-doubt number one pick. Our friends over at FanDuel do have him as the favorite in the American League at plus 270 to win Rookie of the Year. So it feels like it's pretty obvious for me to go with Gunnar Henderson as the number one.
I kind of thought you were going to go with him because I know he was your guy last year whenever they moved the prospect rankings around. He was the dude you wanted at number one. So I was thinking I was probably not going to be able to get him. So I'll go Corbin Carroll. He's the far and away favorite for the National League. And I think if you're not picking Gunnar Henderson, you're definitely picking Carroll. And even me, I mean, like just looking at fantasy wise, I picked him on my team. I think he's going to be a very viable player all season long. And especially when you're looking at the favorites to win this award, it's always good whenever they are the opening day starter at their position, like Gunnar Henderson, third base. You're going to have Corbin Carroll out there in the outfield for the Diamondbacks all year long as he stays healthy. And I mean, the hype's real. The Diamondbacks have already extended him. So I'm looking forward to seeing what Carroll's going to bring to Arizona's table here this season. I think that he is rightly favored to win the title in the National League.
Yeah. And when I go back and look, plus 350 for National League Rookie of the Year. So he is number one favorite. It's not as big of a margin as Gunnar Henderson has. But the thing about Corbin Carroll that blows my mind, I always have to bring this up whenever we talk about him. He's 5'10", 170, okay? Second fastest sprint speed ever recorded in the history of StatCast, but also...
That next to Billy Hamilton?
Next to Billy Hamilton. but also, the Reds guy knows that, but also exit velos, like he's hit 110 miles an hour on exit velo. And so it's like, okay, the combination of power and speed is absolutely absurd with Corbin Carroll. And I've seen him going in fantasy drafts. I've done like four in the last couple of days. I've seen him going as high as like the third and fourth round. Like people just believe that he is the guy and it's going to work.
Right. And I think probably for fantasy purposes, that might be a little early, but I mean, that still speaks to his expectations. I mean, they're through the roof.
Speaking of expectations, I want to set proper expectations for what this draft is going to be. Let me give you our results for last year, if you're ready for this. Okay, and we both have a giant apology to make to our friends in Seattle. The picks in order, I picked first. So I had Bobby Witt Jr., who came in fourth in the voting, so not a bad choice. Your number one pick was Shane Baz of the Rays, who was not in the Rookie of the Year voting. He's out with injury. Not a bad pick, just bad luck. My number two selection was first baseman Spencer Torkelson of the Tigers, who did not stay up all year, had a lot of issues at the plate, didn't really make it happen. So that was a little bit tough there for me. Your second pick, pretty perceptive pick, Hunter Green of your Cincinnati Reds. He got
maybe a little homerish, yeah.
he got third place votes, so he came in sixth in Rookie of the Year voting in the league. And the big thing there, before I get into the rest of them, the big thing there that I like, he is one of the few guys now that is part of the prospect promotion incentive program. So everybody remembers, if you have somebody who finishes first or second Rookie of the Year voting and they were up at opening day, you can get a draft pick. The Mariners got the 29th overall pick this year, and it's like a $2.5 million slot for having him up on opening day and him winning Rookie of the Year. But there are rules about, you have to have a player be on two of the top three top 100 lists. So Baseball America, ESPN, MLB Pipeline. The player has to be rookie eligible and have fewer than 60 days of prior MLB service time when the year starts, which just about everybody here does. And then they have to accrue a year of service time as a rookie. And if they do that, then for the next couple of years, you can earn up to a total of three draft picks for that player. Before they hit arbitration, it's Rookie of the Year or top three in MVP or Cy Young award winning. So people forget, it's not just the first year. It's years two and three. And the list of guys that qualify right now, Nick Lodolo and Hunter Green are two Reds pitchers that qualify, along with Joe Ryan of the Twins, Reed Detmer of the Angels, Mackenzie Gore of the Nationals, and Shane Baz of the Rays. You had two of those. And then position players, Julio Rodriguez, Jeremy Pena, Geraldo Perdomo of the Diamondbacks, and Bobby Witt Jr. So those clubs can win additional draft picks in the next 2 years if those guys are finalists for awards.
Okay.
Kind of a cool thing. So your choice of Hunter Green was a good one. I had Adley Rutschman as my third overall pick, or my third pick in the draft. He came in second, so some points there. You had Reed Detmers. We love Reed Detmers. A little partial because he's kind of close to you there when he was in the minors, but yeah. Was not in the voting. I had George Kirby as my fourth pick, or George Kirby of the Mariners, came in sixth place, got a single third place vote. Thank you for that. You had Mark Vientos, who did not have much of an impact because of just a lack of playing time. That was the issue there. And then I had Tristan Casas, and you had O'Neill Cruz, who did come in seventh. He got two third place votes. So that is how we did last year. Again, I think the biggest slip-ups here, neither one of us had Julio Rodriguez.
Yeah.
And then I don't think if anybody tells you last March that they had
Michael Harris
or Spencer Strider, they may be lying to you.
Not even Braves people knew. Like, he came from Double A and he went on a tear, and you're like, whoa, okay, we got this guy now. Like, yeah, no, there's no way we would have looked back and seen either one of those guys. And the two pitch mix that Spencer Strider has that just absolutely sets the world on fire, that's the same thing that Hunter Green was working with. It's just, it worked a lot better for Strider than it did for Green. Now, I'm looking forward to seeing the steps forward that Hunter Green takes, because he's added a changeup. He's added a different break to his slider. So he technically has four pitches if you squint hard enough. And I love to see the move forward there for him. But yeah, missing on Julio was that was a big miss.
Yeah. Well, like, Hunter Green, when he came back up from the minors, he looked like the fastball wasn't just dead straight. It had movement to it. And I think that was the big thing he was missing. If he had been like that all year, you were looking good. But Spencer Strider just dominates with two pitches that are better than everybody else's. And somebody asked him in spring training, was he working on adding a changeup or something else? And he said, why would I throw my third best pitch when I can just throw my best pitch? And it doesn't work for everybody, but when your first two pitches are that good, it kind of works. So I'm curious to see what Spencer Strider does this year. I've seen him going as early as like second round in drafts, which feels a little high to me, but curious to see what he does. Back to our conversation with Jeff in just a minute, but first, today's episode is brought to you by our friends with LinkedIn Talent Solutions. These days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain you have access to the best qualified candidates available, and that's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the right people for your team faster and for free. You can create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs. Use simple tools like screening questions to make it easy to focus on the candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. And that's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions do apply. Okay, so first round picks. I had Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles. You had Corbin Carroll of the Diamondbacks. I'm going to piggyback on the National League, and I'm going to take the second best odds, Jordan Walker of the St. Louis Cardinals. He is an absolutely massive human being. I mean, 6'5", close to 250. My favorite moment is I tweeted the video on the show account at Locked On Farm of when he found out in the office that he was being named to the opening day roster. And they're sitting there and they're talking. It's the manager, the GM, and him. And then he stands up and he's like half a foot taller than everybody else in the room. And when he goes to hug the GM, it's like a bear enveloping a small child. But he hits for power. He's moved from third base to the outfield with Nolan Arenado's opt-in. And looks like he could be an above average to plus defender in right field. The arm is big. He's incredibly athletic. He even played center field in the Arizona Fall League. So I like the power potential. I did go out and get him in some fantasy drafts, and I'm very excited to see what Jordan Walker can do this year if he can pry away that rookie of the year from Corbin Carroll.
I'm the same way with that. I mean, honestly, I was kind of hoping you wouldn't take him. I thought you were going a different way with that. But yeah, he's going to go off, and especially in a lineup where he's not going to be asked to be the best hitter. I mean, he could be the third, fourth, fifth best hitter, and he can thrive in that role. So I'm very excited from a baseball fan standpoint, not necessarily a Reds fan that doesn't like the Cardinals fan standpoint. So, but okay. So no Jordan Walker. All right. So I'm going to take a gamble here, 'cause I want this guy. I don't think he is the next on the list so far as favorites go or anything like that, but I want this guy because I'm fired up by Anthony Volpe. And him getting the opening day shortstop role, beating out Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, and the Yankees being honest about that and saying, yes, he is our best shortstop, and he is going to be our guy. I really want to see what he can do, because all throughout the minors, he has just shown, you know, everything. He does everything well. I mean, top three prospect in all of baseball. I really want to see what he can do in this lineup. Again, he's not going to be asked to be the guy because – they have the alpha of alphas in Aaron Judge, and he can learn from him. He can kind of get his, you know, get his marching orders from the dude that hits more home runs than, well, most teams did last year. So I think overall, I really want to buy stock in Anthony Volpe this year. He's not on my fantasy team, but he's on my watch list for sure.
Yeah, Anthony Volpe is, I did not necessarily know going into spring training that he was going to make the team. The thought process that I had was Oswald Peraza would make the team. Volpe would get called up sometime during the course of this year once they got tired of IKF's offensive inconsistency. And then he just came to spring and just kept hitting and kept hitting and kept hitting and made the decision easy. So, like you said, there's pressure whenever you are the Yankees shortstop, sure, right? But like you said, he doesn't have to carry the load offensively because there's so many guys, whether it's Rizzo, whether it's Judge, so many options on offense in this lineup that, you know, he can be batting in the bottom half of the order. I do like the speed. He doesn't have great, amazing top end speed, but he can still get out there and steal bases. He's really good baseball instinct. So I think that's going to be helpful for them as far as making things happen in the running game. Good choice of Anthony Volpe. My third pick. And honestly, I thought you were going to go a different direction. So I was planning on taking Volpe at three. So I am now taking a curveball. I'm learning my lesson from not taking Stephen Kwan last year. I am taking Masataka Yoshida of the Red Sox. When he signed with the Red Sox, I was questioning the move. It felt like he's 5'8". He's not a huge guy, but it felt like he was going to be a high batting average and not much of anything else, right? I was really critical of the signing and of the expenditure. 5 years, $90 million. You paid $15 million in a posting fee. But the World Baseball Classic changed my mind. I saw some of the batting practices. He's hitting balls out to all fields. He had 320 home run seasons in Japan, and I saw him go yard in the World Baseball Classic against some pretty good pitching. And so he may not be the best defender, rookie of the year, that doesn't matter. He's also in left field. So in Boston, that doesn't necessarily matter. And I feel like we've been underrating his power, and he might be able to be average-wise as far as power with really good batting average, on base percentage, and just really good offensive production, similar to what Stephen Kwan did last year.
Okay, that's good. You didn't take my guy, because I'm going Francisco Alvarez. Give me the catcher of the Mets. Give me the guy who's going to – I know that they're giving a lot of props to Corbin Carroll in the odds making and different people picking. I know that MLB Pipeline did an article where they polled execs and asked who they thought was going to win it, and Corbin Carroll won it going away in the National League. But those execs had Francisco Alvarez second. Just it was like right around 9% of execs picked him. So I really like that. And I think that in baseball, especially for people who cover baseball, for people who vote on records and awards for baseball, there's something sexy about a good catcher. And Francisco Alvarez is a really freaking good catcher. He can do all of the things. He's not just a bat first guy. He can play very well behind the plate. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he can do for the Mets. And I think that overall he is going to be the guy. I'm blanking on who his competition is going to be behind the plate, but I think that he's going to be their number one catcher probably mid-season.
Yeah, they have Omar Narvaez and Tomas Nido, but neither guy is that great offensively.
Yeah.
I think Nido's more expendable. They went out and signed Narvaez in December, but Nido, they've had him. They drafted him in 2012. He's a very good choice. And with the news that Darren Ruff did not make the team, now there's an obvious path to playing time outside of when he's catching as far as being the other half of the DH platoon with, and I can't think of his name at the moment, Daniel Vogelbach. With Daniel Vogelbach being the other half of that DH platoon, we saw Adley Rutschman come in second last year, and I think he only got maybe 100 or 110 games, and he caught almost every day. It feels like as soon as Alvarez is up, he can get similar types of offensive play time without having to be behind the plate every day because of that DH spot and because them letting Ruff go. So I think it's a good pick. He's not up right now, but I think he'll be up pretty soon. You have to call him up within the first about 2 weeks if you want to qualify for all of the prospect promotion incentives. So I expect it to happen soon if it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, and I think that overall, the way that they have that roster set up, they could carry three catchers if they wanted to. I know they have a lot of talent on the bench and a lot of different guys that they can turn to. But at the end of the day, like Omar Narvaez is a guy that he's going to hit, you know, very few times. Now, when he does hit, it's going to go a long way, but he's going to be your on-base and slugging guy. He's not going to be your batting average guy. And Tomas Nido is, from the little bit that I've seen of him, I've not been impressed.
Finishing up our draft with Jeff in just a minute, but first, today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. The Built March Madness bracket is here. We know you have a favorite bar or puff. Now is the time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. I am voting for churro. Big churro guy. I love churros just like Charles Barkley and the women of San Antonio love churros. If support your team, support your bar or puff. When you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built, and one Locked On fan will receive a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You've got to try Built. It is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, 100% real chocolate, 17 grams of protein, very little sugar, very low calories. So good tasting, good for you. Run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, and the month is almost over, so hop in and support your pick. Lindsey Crosby, Jeff Carr doing our Rookie of the Year draft for 2022. Recap as to where we are so far. First overall pick was by me, Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles. Jeff countered with Corbin Carroll of the Diamondbacks. Second pick, second round, Jordan Walker of the Cardinals for me. Anthony Volpe of the Yankees for Jeff. Third round, I took Red Sox outfielder Masataka Yoshida as my kind of wild card. Jeff took Francisco Alvarez of the Mets as his. And so fourth round here, I'm thinking along the same lines of the reasoning we gave Volpe and the reasoning we gave Jordan Walker about not having to carry the lineup and how that can free a guy. I'm taking Miguel Vargas of the Dodgers. A prospect, he's played third, he's played second, and it looks like he's going to be the starter at second. Obviously, it's kind of all hands on deck for the Dodgers to cover shortstop since they lost Gavin Lux. They got Miguel Rojas. Looks like Chris Taylor is going to cover some of that, but opens up playtime at the Keystone for Miguel Vargas. And another player with fantastic power, at, you know, just tons of patience, can absolutely crush a baseball, but another guy that doesn't need to carry the load. You've got Mookie Betts, you've got Freddie Freeman, you've got Max Muncy. They brought in David Peralta and JD Martinez this year. And it's very, very reasonable to expect you could bat Miguel Vargas seventh or eighth in that lineup. And anything that he produces offensively is gravy. I could absolutely see a 20 home run, you know, 260, 330, 420 slash line. And they're perfectly happy with that from second base because they've got Mookie being Mookie. They've got Freddie Freeman, Will Smith's their catcher, Max Muncy, and all of that. So Miguel Vargas is my fourth round pick.
This one I've done some thinking on because we're getting into the area of the draft where just about everybody's considered, you know, quote unquote long shot. I mean, obviously we didn't pick Julio last year. No one thought about Michael Harris last year. So to say somebody's a long shot, we don't necessarily know for sure. We're just kind of looking at the odds when it comes to those favorite things. This is where I look at my dude. And you already said a Dodger, so I'm going to go ahead and say a Dodger as well. Bobby Miller. I wanted the Reds so bad to go out and get this dude at the trade deadline because he is going to be a very good pitcher for the Dodgers. And I think that there's going to be ample opportunity. I mean, you're talking about Dustin May coming back from Tommy John surgery. He's healthy, but also, you know, what's that going to look like all season? Is he going to stay that way? Clayton Kershaw usually has some sort of health ailment at some point in the season. So there's going to be plenty of opportunity in that starting rotation for a guy like Bobby Miller, who has shown talent at every single level. And I don't think we're looking at and saying, okay, well, he's probably a long shot here. I think he is going to be a dude. And when you're pitching behind that lineup and, you know, the defense, kind of like we said, it's going to be a patchwork with no Gavin Lux short, but still you're talking about a lot of talented guys, and the Dodgers and bad defense are usually things you don't say in a sentence together.
Yeah, I love Bobby Miller's tools. He's got two pitches that are like 70 grade. The four-seam fastball can run it up to 101. The slider is another 70 grade, sits upper 80s, a lot of late movement to it. And then he has a changeup that's plus. He has a two-seamer that he can get close to 100 miles an hour and a curveball, like tons of weapons. And again, another guy, like you said, doesn't have to do a lot. You've got a good offense behind you. They're probably going to stake you to a four-run lead in every game. And so not a ton of pressure. I like the choice of Bobby Miller. I'm going to stick with the theme of pitching, although this guy probably doesn't have the caliber of offense behind him. But I'm taking Grayson Rodriguez of the Orioles. To me, it feels like Gunnar Henderson and Grayson Rodriguez could pull the Michael Harris, Spencer Strider. And I honestly think maybe we should separate position player rookie of the year and hit in a pitching rookie of the year. But Grayson Rodriguez was a guy that we were all prepared to be an MLB-er last year. He had that lat strain. It delayed him. He ended up getting just about 70 innings in AAA Norfolk, 220 ERA, 12 and a half strikeouts per nine to like 2.7 walks. He's just about fully formed, ready to go. Should be in there on opening day. Probably not going to have any restrictions. Another guy, 70 grade fastball, 70 grade slider, 60 grade changeup. I like his curveball even more than Bobby Miller's. Like four pitches that are above average or better, with two pitches that are elite. absolutely think Grayson Rodriguez, if I have to pick a pitcher, because it's so hard for them to get Rookie of the Year, I feel like he's a good bet because you know he'll be in the rotation all year.
Yeah, I think that I kind of agree with that. Give us a position player and a pitcher, because pitchers barely ever win, you know, or, you know, either Rookie of the Year award. So I find that to be cool. All right, so my last pick, right? Counting right. Last pick, going to be a homer, but I think he's got a shot. I think there's it's a long shot. He's a dark horse, but I think my dude Spencer Steer's got a shot here, because Spencer Steer has the kind of discipline at the plate that's going to build himself into a good major league hitter. He's not coming up. He's free swinging. There's so many different prospects. I mean, heck, my dude Ellie De La Cruz is a free swinging prospect. Spencer Steer is not that way. Like, he understands the strike zone. He understands his hot and cold zones, and he's going to keep to those and not try and overstretch himself. Defensively, there are a couple of question marks. He didn't look all that great at third base in spring training, but I think there's a little bit of pressure that he's putting on his own shoulders, being like, I got to be this team's everyday third baseman. But kind of the same argument, this lineup is going to be kind of a patchwork a little bit, but he's not necessarily going to be one of those guys that are relied on right away. If he grows into that role, then he could be this team's number two hitter or number three hitter or something like that. But as of right now, we're probably going to see him in the sixth or the seventh spot with guys like Will Myers and Tyler Stevenson and Jonathan India really anchoring the top of this lineup. So I think that for a dark horse sleeper candidate, I'm going to pick Spencer Steer.
If there's a non-top 100 guy who has a chance to do it, it feels like he can kind of replicate what Jonathan India did as far as capturing that magic. And part of it helps with the ballpark you're in, right? I mean, It feels like in that ballpark, he should be able to hit 260, 270, decent on-base percentage, and some good power. So I like the choice of Spencer Steer. Spencer Steer is here. That's a good one. I do wish he was in that utility role that I think he'd be better at, but that's something as these prospects come up, Ellie De La Cruz, for instance, you'll have options to put at third and let him go back to being that super utility, can play first, can play second, can play third, can fill in at short, and just kind of play everywhere. So recapping the draft just real quick, Lindsay took Gunnar Henderson, Jordan Walker, Masataka Yoshida, Miguel Vargas, and Grayson Rodriguez. Jeff took Corbin Carroll, Anthony Volpe, Francisco Alvarez, Bobby Miller, and Spencer Steer. Final thoughts on the draft, Jeff. Is there anybody, if you had a sixth round pick, is there anything else, like any dark horse, anything else you want to add to this, or are we good?
It's funny because I always find myself gravitating toward National League rookies, and that's probably my own bias of being a National League fan, but it really kind of draws me in a little bit. I'm interested in Schuster for the Braves, Jared Schuster, I believe is his name. Jared Schuster. Interested to see what happens there. I mean, the Braves just know how to develop pitching, so that's kind of the easiest way to fall back on a guy that's coming up through the Braves system. But I think he could be pretty interesting as well. He probably would have been my honorable mention, my sixth pick.
I was very close to Tristan Cassis of the Red Sox and having him in two straight back-to-back drafts. It was just something where I don't necessarily know how good the team's going to be. He would have been my sixth-round pick if we had a sixth-round pick. I just don't know how good the team was going to be. Jeff, where can folks go to find out more about you and your show, follow you and what you're doing, and give you love?
You can follow Locked On Reds everywhere you find Locked On MLB Prospects. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff Carr with 3 F's, and you can also follow the show at Locked On Reds. You can also follow my co-host, Stephen Offenbaker, at S. Offenbaker with 2 F's. We are all over the Twitters while we're watching games and in between episodes, which, just like Locked On MLB Prospects, comes at you daily Monday through Friday.
I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. Show's on Twitter at Locked On Farm. You can email us, lockedonmlbprospects@gmail.com, or drop your questions in the Locked On MLB Prospects Discord. Links in the episode description, links in the show notes. Until tomorrow's show, remember, it's always a good time to pay a minor leaguer.